I bought a book today, and this audio is about the book that I bought, and it's brand new book. It's just literally into Waterstones in Cork yesterday or today, and it's written by a woman who lives in West Cork called Elizabeth Rose Murray, and it's the name of the book is Caramel Hearts, and there's some sort of a subtitle on the front page. Can a book full of secrets unlock the past? That may not exactly be a subtitle, it may be a marketing blurb. Anyway, besides living in West Cork, although I suspect she's lived in the UK before, as she writes from West Cork, she fishes and she grows her own vegetables. Caramel Hearts is her first book for young adults. I'm reading this off the back of the book, by the way. Her debut novel for children, aged 10 to 12, The Book of Learning, Nine Lives, was published by Mercier Press, and it was chosen as the 2016 Dublin UNESCO City of Literature Citywide Read for Children. She also has poetry and short fiction published in journals across UK and Ireland. So she has credentials, and actually she's on Twitter, and that's how I've made a contact with her. So I'm going to take a risk now. I'm going to read you from the blurb on the back of the book. That'll tell you what it's about. So there are some quotes, and this will give you an idea. And you never know, I was attracted to this book for a reason which will become obvious in a couple of minutes. So here's a little quote from the book. Walking home, I scuff my shoes along the curb. I think of the recipe book, of the cheery voice and lovely treats, and I wish I could wrap myself up in its pages. Where is the man that wrote these recipes, that dreamt those dreams? That's a quote. Liv Bloom's life is even more complicated than that of your average 14-year-old. Her father walked out on the family when she was young, her mother is in a recovery centre for alcoholics, and her older sister is struggling to step into mum's shoes. The only person she can turn to is her best friend, Sarah, who gets out of scrapes at school and is a constant source of advice and companionship. One day, Liv discovers a book of recipes written in her mum's handwriting, which sets her off on a journey towards self-discovery and reconciliation. But a theft, a love, rivalry, and a school bully are just some of the many obstacles on the way. Now we get to the bit that really attracted me. Structured around real recipes, Caramel Hearts, and it's that real recipes, so somehow or other, recipes are integrated into the novel. Well, in fact, now I understand how they're integrated, but Caramel Hearts is a coming-of-age novel about love, disappointment and hope, and discovering the true value of friends and family, no matter how dysfunctional they are. So that's the book. That's the advertisement for the book, which I presume was written by the author or her editor. It's published by a publisher called Alma Books in Richmond in Surrey. But I wonder now, if you're interested or if you're intrigued, let me just read you a bit of the beginning. 3 pages of the book I'm going to read now. So see what you think of her writing style. It might hook you. It's actually, well, it's the first time I've read it. So this is the beginning, the entire beginning of the book. Before we begin, I'd like to share a memory. It's a cold, blustery day and sand whips against my face, but I don't mind. Whitby is almost 2 hours away from home, and on its beach I'm as free as the howling winds. I reach into the scrunched newspaper in Mum's hand and take another steaming hot chip loaded with salt and vinegar. Popping the chip into my mouth, I wait until Mum's distracted, and then turn to my sister Hattie, and open my jaw wide, showing the contents. "Yuck! You're disgusting," cries Hattie. copying in return. We giggle, one eye on Mum, but she's completely unaware. Her eyes are closed, her lashes fluttering contentedly as she faces the North Sea as though remembering something special. I take Hattie's hand. "I told you, Liv," whispers Hattie. "She's getting better." I turn a wobbly cartwheel and my hair leaves snake trails in the sand. "Yay!" cries Hattie. Mom joins in the celebrations. We must have disturbed her. We check she's not cross and touch our left ears, our signal that it's all clear. "Olivia Bloom, youngest of the Bloom sisters, takes gold," says Mom in a commentator's voice. Not that I read that in a commentator's voice. Not to be outdone, Hattie kicks up her right leg and spins her body in a perfect arc. "Harriet Bloom performs a stellar round also. It's joint gold for the Bloom sisters." Mom lifts her arms high into the air and nearly upturns the chips. We scramble through the deep, powdery sand to rescue our lunch. Mom's quick, she turns tail and runs towards the cave. We follow in hot pursuit, laughing and shrieking. But by the time we reach the cave, Mom's mood has changed. She stares blankly at us as we catch up, panting. The air is flat and damp. The wild, free winds are left outside. "Mom, do you want to rest for a while?" offers Hattie. "I want Max," says Mom, bursting into tears. We sit next to her. Close enough for her to know we're there, but not close enough to touch, and we wait to pass the time. I gather Hattie's treacle-coloured locks and plait them into seahorse tails, I think. Please don't let Mum get angry. Mum keeps crying and turns her soggy face towards us. Her fringe sticks to her forehead in swirls. "If your dad was here, I wouldn't get these moods." I stop plaiting, draw my knees up and rest my chin on them. "If you hadn't driven him away, Liv, everything would be fine." "Sorry, Mum," I say. "They split up when I was 2. That's 6 years ago. If only you'd been a better baby. If only you hadn't scribbled on the walls, thrown your food bowls." I squash my chin into my knees as hard as I can, trying to make a bruise. A bruise helps take your mind off things. When you poke it, all you think about is the pain, and you forget the bad stuff you've done, like driving your dad away. Hattie never threw her food bowls. Max didn't leave when there was just me and Hattie. "I did other naughty stuff, though, Mum," says Hattie in a shaky voice. It's as though Mum hadn't heard her at all. "You always were a naughty child, Liv. He couldn't cope with it. He had to leave." "Sorry, Mum." I felt the soft touch of Harriet's fingers searching out my own, followed by a warm, gentle squeeze. I know it's meant to mean, don't listen, but I can't help it. "You'll always be that way, I guess. You've got my blood, Liv. That's the problem. Bad blood." She shuffles closer to me, so I turn my eyes to Hattie and wait for the signal. Mom hugs into my back, whispering, "Sorry, love, don't mind me. Don't pay any attention." And eventually Hattie touches her ear. When Mum pulls away, she's all smiley again. "Who's for more chips?" she says. And squealing, we all run back into the daylight. So that is the very beginning of the book. Now I'm just going to tell you what one of the recipes which caught my eye is for. It's called, and it's well into the novel, it's... What page is it on? Let's see. I don't have any page, actually, funnily enough. But it's in just before page 130. And they're called Butterfly Cupcakes. And here's the first few lines. "Butterflies are a symbol of rebirth, happiness and regeneration in Native American mythology. And it's believed that certain butterflies and moths are visiting ancestral spirits. So take heed of some ancient wisdom and come fly with me high up in the sky above your woes and worries. You can thank the spirits later." And then I won't tell you the recipe because it goes on to giving you all the ingredients and it gives you all the stuff for the buttercream icing and then it gives you all the instructions on what to do. And there you are. That's it. And I have to say that it gives me a lot of pleasure
to publicise this book by Elizabeth Rose Murray, because Elizabeth and I have never met, and but we've had, over several years, we've had little flurries of tweets and retweets, and well, I'm going to read this, even though it looks like it's as if it's actually written for, you know, 14, 15-year-olds. Who knows? Anyway, it won't do me any harm. I'm a big child. Okay, all the best. Bye for now.